You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 20th day of March 2014. On the phone line with us to help us take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It is the very first day of spring, and sounds like we're going to have, at least here, some spring-like weather, maybe tomorrow and a bit this afternoon, but then we get colder again, and I don't know, I guess we're not going to plant corn in March, huh?
Well, I don't think so. Maybe the second week of April, if things dry out.
You're going to have to make a run to Texas to see corn planting.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot done in the Corn Belt, at least, until we get toward the end of April. It looks like the temperatures want to stay cold enough, and maybe there's going to be enough moisture around that nobody's going to get a lot done. But it'll be, a week of nice, sunny, warm weather, which you guys definitely deserve up there. Can do a lot in today's. A lot of farmers have put new tile in the ground, so things can dry out pretty quick. But it does look like we're going to get off to a generally slow start to start with anyway.
In Chicago, futures in the wheat pit were lower, corn and soybeans following suit. It appears that may have been on ideas that the problems in the Crimea, at least the tensions, are beginning to diffuse a bit.
Well, that is a factor, but I think this is the time of year that you can about spread any kind of rumor and the market will grab it. I think easing tensions is part of that. I think one of the reasons is there was rumors today that Brazil was maybe going to cancel a U.S. hard red winter wheat sale and maybe buy some Ukraine black seaweed. So that was kind of in the wheat market here today to kind of help fuel the decline after we made new highs for the year. So, price action wise, the wheat market kind of looks like it kind of exhausted itself for this rally over the past week or two, where that's really kind of been a rocket shot up to the $7 level, has probably been exhausted, and now the market's probably going to go into some consolidation and see how things do work out in the Crimea. I think the trade is worried about civil unrest, civil war type activity that would maybe stop or limit export out of that country. That's always a problem when you get into a situation like this. But fundamentally, when you look here in the United States, we do have, dry weather in the southern plains. The hard red winter wheat crop rating levels took a pretty good hit last week. When you look at what happened in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, and I know Texas really doesn't count very much in the wheat complex, but it does, definitely show the dryness. And then I think there's going to be worries about spring wheat plantings in the Dakotas. I think they're still buried under 5 foot of snow. Not sure, but there's going to be a long time before they can start probably working in the field when you get up in that northern area. So we'll have to see how much follow-through we have, but, the way the market acted today in wheat, you'd have to say that we've exhausted the current rally for a while, and now it's time to settle back and have some consolidation and probably see what USDA's report's all about.
And at the end of the month, we both get the acreage numbers on the 31st. I believe that's a Monday, along with the grain stocks figures. Some acreage figures have been trickling out from sources, and boy, there's some interesting ones that raise up the soybean numbers and drop the corn numbers pretty dramatically, too.
Well, like I said, I think you can about put anything on the table right now, and the market will run with it. There's clearly no doubt that we're, USDA's forum numbers, there's upwards of maybe 4 million acres that they didn't account for. And then you can kind of, try to guess where you want to put them. I mean, the corn-soybean ratio in new crop has been hanging in this 2.4 range to 1.
Right.
And that really doesn't encourage soybean plantings. If anything, that's kind of a neutral number. I think it encourages soybean plantings in the fringe areas where they have where they don't have real high productive soils, or but if you get into the main heart belt of the black dirt area, you know, that's going to stay in corn unless a farmer wants to just kind of pull back. He's been real heavy on corn and he doesn't want to do any more corn on corn acreage again. So I'm not sure we're going to see a total big jump in soybean acres, but I just about every place I went last winter, I did hear more chatter about soybean acres, whether it was Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, southern Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas. So I do believe the fringe areas are going to see more soybean acres. Corn acres, I think this rally here has probably bought some corn acres, but supposedly the March 1 survey is not necessarily supposed to reflect the March strength, but it definitely maybe will reflect the rally that we had during December. I mean, the $4 cash corn bid is not very attractive to farmers these days, but now since, you know, prices have kind of rallied back to the 450 area in some areas, that could have put more corn on the table. So that'll be an interesting report. I mean, as whatever is going to come out, you know, USDA is going to use, they won't show a balance sheet that day. They'll wait till the March report to trace out a balance sheet, but the trade will trace out a balance sheet using these lofty yield numbers. So everything will be interpreted as somewhat bearish from basically what USDA form numbers were if they do come out larger. And then we always have this appearing and disappearing 500 million bushels of corn. That could reappear again in ending stocks. Just about everybody acknowledges that the billion bushel increase in feed and residual use over a year ago looks lofty, but we'll see. I think there's worry in the trade that USDA could maybe drop that 300 million and or 400 and maybe put that in ending stocks. We'll have to see, you know, on that point. So corn definitely is set up to maybe see some bearish numbers, higher acres than what the form number was, maybe not as strong a feed and residual usage number. So I think that's one of the reasons I think got into corn. Corn's been lagging all along, even while wheat and soybeans have been having a pretty good run to the upside.
You know, when you look at the charts for both the May beans or the lead option and the Novembers, and you think about the 1460, because we've been close to that twice in the May, and November's been tapped on 12, not quite got there, a couple of times on the daily charts. And I don't know, what do you see technically there?
Oh, daily charts look bearish. Now, when you look at the monthly chart or the weekly chart, maybe you can, there's some hope for the bull, but you have to say that at least today's action put a double top formation in play.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but I wanted you to.
but you got to look at the way we closed. I mean, Ashley May did finish, a couple pennies higher, and yep, the losses in the other contracts were generally modest. November was only down a penny and a half. So there's room to negate that that double top formation. I think I was writing my comments here for this evening and was explaining that point that, yes, it does have a double top in it, but in order to really validate it, you need to see some pretty hefty follow-through declines either tomorrow or early next week, and we may get those. There was all kinds of rumors today of China canceling soybean purchases out of Brazil. That was one of the reasons that took it off as high here today. But, yeah, you have to from a technical point of view, any technician that's long the market is probably going to get out if he isn't already out just because of that formation, and to see whether or not it's valid or not. So you do have that on the table. And that I think it just makes USJ's report at the end of the month all that important to the soybean complex, whether or not they find an extra 50 million bushels, or maybe they might lose 50 million, who knows. But last year they found, I think, 50 or 60 million, and that kind of eased a lot of the supply tightness. But the soybean market stayed strong all the way into August last year.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana.